17, if you'd turn with me, please. Thank God tonight that I'm saved. I'm more glad tonight that I'm saved than I've ever been in my life. I appreciate the feeling on the inside. Knowing that heaven's mine, that the joys of being a Christian. Been knowing it now since about 1951, I got born again. And I'm doing tonight what I was born in this world to do. And that's to preach the Word of God. I'm reading now from 1 Samuel 17 in verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. I want to preach tonight asking you a question. Are you in the battle? Now, I'm talking to you. And men, women, boys, and girls. And asking you, really, if you are in the battle. Now, you can go to a Baptist church and pay your tithes and carry a King James Bible and not really be in the battle. I know people who go to church regularly and do everything looks like they ought to do on the outside. But in their heart, they're not in the battle. We've got a lot of folks that are has-beens. They used to be in the battle. They used to be warriors. They used to fight for the cause of Christ, but have turned and become turncoats and cowards and are no more in the real battle for what's right. David was a soldier. Every real Christian is a warrior. Every real child of God is a real soldier. And a real soldier does what the captain says for him to do. And here the children of Israel were in war. And to be a soldier, there's some things about you that have got to happen. I mean, if you're going to be a soldier for God, and I want to go through some of them things tonight, if God will help me and touch me. To be a real warrior for God, first of all, you got to have the right birth. If you don't have the right birth, you cannot be a warrior. Now, I'm talking about being born again, about being saved, about becoming a child of God, about changing your destination from hell to heaven, and where you can know it. I knew it when God saved me that morning. I've been under conviction for 2 years. Sometimes I could eat, sometimes I couldn't. Sometimes I could sleep, sometimes I couldn't. But it was under deep conviction. And when God that morning saved me, I bounced. And I've been bouncing ever since. And I know where I got it. I don't know how God done it. Don't really know why I done it. I just know I got born again. And it's been real to me every day. There's never been a day since God saved me that I haven't felt saved.
There's been days that ain't been as high as others, but I've always felt saved. And I've had down days and up days, but it's never been a day that I didn't feel saved. I ain't never wanted to cuss and drink and run around since God saved me. And I'm glad tonight I know where I am. I'm right in the blessed road that leads to glory. And I'm a soldier. And I ain't ashamed. It ain't a bragging to tell you that I'm one of God's soldiers. And I'm glad of the uniform. When I went in the service, that is the best clothes I ever had. I never had that good of clothes. Never had a pair of shoes to fit me until I went for the service and got in the army. That's right. And I really never had no shoes of my own except after I'd got almost old enough to join the army. And thank God I had two or three pair of shoes and uniforms. And I'm going to tell you, I would not wear civilian clothes. They'd want me to get civilian clothes and go to town. I said, no, this is the best I ever had. And I want to wear them. And I want to shine my brass and let everybody see. Amen. You say, preacher, what's the matter with you? I was proud to be a soldier. And I still am. And I'm in God's army. And I'm more proud of what I'm wearing tonight than what I was wearing then. I'm glad I'm in the army of the living God. And I'm going to tell you something else. The outcome of this battle is already settled. I've been turning over in the back pages of the manual, and I know how it's going to come out. We're going to be victorious. I don't know what's going to happen in the deserts over yonder. God could change things. But I'm going to tell you, He's already promised in the book, this is going to come out, not just all right, but it's going to come out wonderful. David had the right birth. He is in the right line. Some of you in here tonight may be putting on a show. You may be a hypocrite. You may sing in the choir and wear good clothes and be good to the preacher and claim to be saved but never been born again. And it's no wonder you haven't. I don't see how in the world, since I got saved, I don't see how in the world that sinners can go to church and sit on the preacher and go through the troubles and trials that they're going through. I can't understand it. But I'm glad, thank God, I'm in tonight and I have the right birth. Got saved down on the hillside. Got saved to praying. I didn't get saved to reading. Didn't get saved to listening to singing. I got into conviction from hearing preaching. And that morning, thank God, I prayed through. And when I prayed through, I remember I was desperate. And every sinner's got to get desperate before he gets saved. You won't get saved to laughing, thinking about other things. You'll get desperate before you get born again. And I got born again that morning. Thank God, a no soul salvation, a real birth. David had the right birth. And then he's about his father's business. Now, if you're going to be a warrior, you got to be about your father's business. And that's where David was. When Jesse got ready for him, he didn't have to go to the pool hall or to the beach in order to find him. He knew where he had put him, and he knew that's where he'd be. He didn't say, go look for David. I don't know where he is. I left him with the sheep, but he's kind of wobbling on the axle, and I don't know where he'll be Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night. He is down there with the sheep where Jesse left him. And that's for every child of God. If you're a real warrior, thank God they won't have to look for you and get out the FBI and radar on Sunday night and Wednesday night. You'll be at the house of God. Amen, Brother Milton. I thank God if you're a warrior, you'll be in the war where God wants you. It's about his father's business. The more your father's business you get in, the less he'll be in your business and everybody else's business. Amen. He's in doing his father's business. Amen. The finest business I ever got in is what I'm in tonight. Amen. Oh, thank God for my calling. For God. I've been taught when I was a young Christian that being called to preach is worse than being a shepherd dog. That's what they told me. And when I got Nelson and I called to preach, it is a down thing to me. I thought the whole world had looked down on me, and some of them do and still do. But thank God, I'm glad I'm saved and called. I got started preaching, and I got down in the woods and got to praying, and begging God to help me preach. And he got to helping me. And they wanted me to conduct prayer meeting in the, up at the church, and I conducted prayer meeting, and I had some books by a fella named B.H. Carroll. And I'd read them books, and then I'd go and give them at the church what I read. And I was trying to pray about it, but I got down there behind the log one day, and God said if I'd have wanted B.H. to preach, I'd have let him live, and I just wouldn't have to fool with you. But since he's dead and I called you, I want you to preach Hanley Milton. Amen. Thank God tonight. I ought this be about the master's business and let everything else go. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, he can preach his preachers and direct his children and tell his singers what to say and to tell Sunday school teachers what to teach if we just get about the master's business. Amen, brother.
Amen.
I'm about to have a Wednesday night fed. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm a soldier. I'm glad I'm in God's army.
Yeah.
And about the master's business. And when Jesse called on him, he knew where to go get him. Brought him to the house now and told him to go down and see about his brethren. Boy, if there's ever a time when we need to be concerned about our brethren and our sisters. We're living in a day when folks don't care much of what happens to one another. I remember when families used to be close, and the families in Downs' church, they're close now. Brothers and sisters don't care much about one another, and spiritual brothers and sisters don't care much about one another. And I'm going to tell you, preachers don't care much about one another in my country. I got to preaching. I was in a liberal Baptist church. I got to preaching. God got a hold of me, and I got to preaching. Y'all understand what I said? I said I got to preaching.
Yeah.
And they come to me, some of my own kin folks, and said, "You need to, Brother Hanley said, you need to go join the Church of God. They carry on like you do." And said, "You'll never fit in the Baptist church." And I thought to myself, that's all right, but I'm going to preach what God wants me to preach. And if they kick me out, I'll preach down on the street. And if they put me in jail, I'll preach in jail. And I'm going to tell you preachers this tonight, especially you young men, if God's really called you to preach, you're going to have to do something. I mean, you're going to have to do something. I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd ride and tell God I could not preach, and I'd come to myself a preaching in the car.
That's it.
When it's birthed into you, you're just going to do it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. When he got down to the battle, when he got down where the war was, he knowed what to do with his buggy. He's driving that little old chariot. When he got where the battle was, he just parked it. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to do anything for God, there's some things in your life you need to park.
Yeah.
Pull them up, get out of them, tie them up, and say goodbye. I'm in God's business. No more in this world. Did y'all hear me tonight? There's a lot of, now, my granddaddy was a preacher. And he told me about 1960. He said, "Now, I'm going to tell you what. He just found out that I was called to preach." And he said, "I'll tell you what now, where your trouble's going to be." He said, "In my day, all the time I've been a preacher, people want to know what they can give up in order to get closer to God. They'll come to me and say, 'Preacher, tell me something I can do that'll make me a more fit candidate for the workings of the Holy Ghost in my life.'" But he said, "In your day, they'll be wanting to ask you how close they can walk to the edge of hell and still be called a Christian." My grandpa was a pretty smart fella. And I'm going to tell you tonight, there's some buggies we're dragging around behind us that we've been riding in. We ought to just pull up and hitch them and wave goodbye to them and say, "I'm a-going with God." Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. He had something in his basket when he got down there to the battlefield. He didn't come empty-handed. His father gave him something for his brother. I think you come to church house, you ought to want to give just as much as to get. I think you've been saved once in a while, you'll have a testimony or something. At least you could walk up to one of the brethren and say, "Thank you for preaching the Word of God. And I love you, and thank you for teaching Sunday school. I enjoyed the good prayer. And thank God, have something in your basket that'll help somebody." Amen. A lot of folks sold when they get to the house of God. I've been over yonder watching television all week. I thought you'd get quiet on that business. And they're full of all this junk, and they come to the house of God. They don't have nothing in their basket to help folk. God help us to come to church with something in our basket to help somebody. Oh, God help us to come right. I wonder how it takes them. And I'm going to tell you, it's worse in Kentucky. You all don't know about in the Civil War. We is neutral. Far as I know, my brother was the only state that is neutral, far as I know. I mean, we couldn't make up our mind which side we wanted to fight on. That reminds me of a whole lot of Baptist churches. They can't really make up their mind which direction they want to go. Well, they want to go the way of holiness or stay half worldly and half churchy too. But I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. Going to take hold of it. And I mean staying right in the sight of God and to have something in our basket that will help our brother. I know the crowd's down a little tonight, but thank God I went over here and went to sleep this afternoon and slept the sleep of death for about an hour and a half, and I feel rested. I feel like it's backed up in me. And I gotta preach, thank God tonight. I'm glad I'm in the war and in the service of the Lord. Oh yes, I got a few scars and a few bloody places, but it makes no difference. I'm still glad I'm in the service of the living God. I'm gonna tell you something else. When he got down there, he didn't pay any attention to the baloney from the brethren. They tried to persuade him to just go on back. Said, "Won't you go on back of that little bunch of sheep over there?" When I started out, if I'd have paid attention to the other preachers, I'd already quit. It looked like everything I started to do, they know the better way. The first church I pastored had 9 preachers sitting in the amen corner, and none of them preaching, but they all know how it ought to be done, and they made it their business to tell me. But they soon found out I had a captain that I thought more of than I did them. I'm intending to listen to him. He's the only one. You see, if they'd have got me in trouble, they couldn't get me out. But if I get in trouble now, pay attention to my captain. He'll come bail me out. He's got the forces to do the job. Amen. Now, in my country, them old mountain churches, if you preach on the radio, they don't have anything to do with you. I'm talking about curiousness. And y'all not been vaccinated against it down here either. I mean, it's in this country too. I've seen some of it. Got them beliefs. It don't have to be in the Bible. I mean, our daddy's done it this way, and we're going to do it this way, whether it's right or not. I know that's right. And I preached on the radio, and they didn't like it, and they voiced against it. You say, "Preacher, what'd you do?" I tried to get more time. Amen. Amen. And I found out later they'd slip around in the dark and say, "We listen to you every Sunday, but don't tell nobody." Amen. Just ought to be a warrior and do what God said do. And pay no attention to the bony from the breath. Got some of them odd beliefs. Some of them won't let you preach if you come in carrying a coat. You got on a coat, you're carrying a coat, and the Bible said don't take 2 coats. So they won't let you preach. I'm talking about baloney from the brethren, little old things that folk will tell you that has nothing to do with the workings of God. You know what I'm talking about tonight. Now, I realize some of this is funny just because it's awful, but I don't mean to be funny. Don't care if you're laughing, but it's a serious business I'm talking about, that folks will pay more attention to the baloney from the brethren than they will to God Almighty. Amen. Around Bristol, Tennessee, there's a group up there that won't ordain anybody to preach if his wife makes canned biscuits. Now, I'm telling you what's right. They said if he's a master of his own house, he'd have homemade biscuits. I'm talking about the baloney from the brethren. And that we'll pay attention to little old Tracy things. But I'm going to tell you, David paid no attention to the baloney from the brethren. He come down to fight. And I'll tell you what you better do. Throw away the decisions of man. Get you an old King James Bible and go in the woods and say, until the power of God falls, and do it God's way. Woo! Thank God, I know it's right.
Amen. Next thing he did, he went to see the captain. He goes to do business for God to stay in contact with the captain. He had to go to the captain's tent. Went up to the tent. And how the old king tried every way in the world that he could to keep him from doing what he knew he had to do. He said, "You're just a stripling of a lad. I was down there. I was sitting on a rock, writing, 'The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.' And there's a big old lion. There's a big old lion come out after the sheep and just roared. It's going to take him little old lambs." And David said, "I didn't have to take no courses at the association. I didn't have to go to no seminars." He said, "I just went out there and took hold of him and ripped him apart." Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, I don't. God, did you know God won't use a coward? If all you do is find out what the brethren want and run and do that, you ain't gonna ever be worth anything to God. If you plow your own row, hoe your own corn, God can use you. Amen. He said, "I was down there sitting, and said there's a lion come in after the sheep. Now a real man of God will guard his sheep. I'm going to tell you something else. A real Christian will love the rest of the flock and will guard them. Won't talk against one another and fight one another. Thank God they'll just be warriors. I'm going to tell you, ladies, when them other ladies come over out of your house and drink coffee from the church uptown, you know, and they go talking about how silly it is for God's men to hoop and holler, and there ain't no sense in that, and ought to be better educated. You ought to be a soldier and tell them to go home and drink coffee over there."
Yeah, that's it, Lord.
Amen. I just thought I'd drop that in on you. I'm going to tell you tonight, thank God, I'm glad I'm an old-timer. I was raised up in a liberal Baptist church, and God pulled me out, put me in an old mountain outfit that believed in shouting, and it took on me, and I'm still a doing it tonight.
When I got
saved, I didn't believe in shouting. I'd shouted when I got saved, but I thought that was the first time in the private. We ain't going to do it no more. Amen. Said, "That ain't but a puff." But I got to go in them cottage prayer meetings, and them old-timers, me and my wife joined down in an old-time church, and they had them Tuesday night home prayer meetings. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I was there one night, and they got to singing. And they're singing, "I'll not be a stranger when I get to that city. I'm acquainted with folk over there." And they got to rejoice. I was standing back in the doorway of the bedroom, and God got to move. And I heard somebody real close to me shout, "Real King." I looked around, "It's me." Amen. I'm going to tell you, if you're a real soldier, once in a while, and you realize you're winning the battle, you can't help but holler and thank God for the victory. There's times in your life when you've been in a valley and you thought you couldn't go on, and his sister Ann said today, "Thank God the light come on." How in the world are you going to keep from shouting? Amen. I'm glad at the time, thank God, when I've been in a valley and in trouble, heartache and sorrow on my soul, and the light come on, and I rejoice, and let the world know I was glad I said. I was traveling a while back in the early morning, put a tape in the tape player, and some old man preaching. He got done preaching, they got to praying and the shouting. I pulled in at McDonald's down there, so I almost slipped sideways and slammed my brakes on and got out and hollered, "Glory, hallelujah," for everybody that wanted to hear. I'm going to tell you, thank God, if you're a soldier and you've been in trouble and you've sealed victory from the battle, I don't see how in the world you keep from shouting hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, Saul said, "You're going to have to go." Saul said, "You're going to have to go. I want you to wear my arm." David tried it on and said, "It ain't going to work. I can't wear nobody else's arm.
I want to ask you, preacher, something. Don't answer me. And I know before I ask you. Did you ever try to preach like somebody else? You don't have to answer me. It'll be all right. I'll forgive you. Did you ever have anybody else? I mean, you just find yourself doing what they done. It ain't going to work. Amen. Just well tighten down. Let God have you.
Yes, amen.
And use you. David said, I'll just use what I got. He said, I'm just gonna use what I got.
Yeah.
I don't have much education. I ain't bragging on that. That's a shame and a disgrace. Wish I had more, but I don't wish I had more if I couldn't let God use it. Are you hearing me? I really wish I had 2 or 3 doctor's degrees if I could let God use it. But if He can't use it, you better leave it alone. Amen. I'm a slingshot man. You know what I'm talking about? This kind of slingshot, not this kind. That's what David used. But I'm a slingshot man. Got one in my car now. Got ball bearings. I think I got a bunch of ball bearings in the car. And you ain't getting them out. But I use them. I use that slingshot, and I kill game with it. And I used to use gravel, but they move around on me in the air. And I don't like them sailing rocks. I might shoot at this brother with that sailing rock and hit you or you. But when I use that ball bearing, it goes where I put it. Are you understanding me? And that's what I aim to do of preaching. I don't aim preaching using no sailing rocks. Just kind of speak generally and hope it hits somebody. That ain't no good. Just go ahead and tell them what you're talking about. Amen. Amen. Paul said what it is. Amen. The man of God's got a right to call a man's name. And say, you was out last week drunk. And I'm going to tell you to get right or get out. He's got that right. He told Timothy, they that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. How about that? You say, I believe the preacher's talking about me this morning. I don't like that. If you was in my congregation, I'd call your name. I might add right there, my congregation's not very big. Amen. But David knew what he had tried in years gone by would still work. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to be old timers, don't look for something new. Don't look for some new plan of singing and having hooked to do at the house of God. Go back to the old ways. The old men that walked these hills and preached God's word. And the old ladies that lived right. If you want what they had, do what they did. Amen. David took his sling, had a sling and a stone, went down to the brook. Oh, he knew where the rocks were that had fit in his sling. You know, where you got the ammunition that won the last battle, it'll be the same ammunition that'll win this battle. We get a little highfalutin on God sometimes. And not come out victorious if we just obey the Lord. It's been some years ago, I was in a meeting. A lady stood up and she said, I want to tell you a story. She said, hit us back in, I believe, 1930. And she said, nobody much here remembers them hard times. And there's lots of folks here that do. I mean, them hard times. And she said, we didn't have anything. And she said, we was going to church. And she said, I had to save money. And she said, I had a quota that I'd saved right over in the back of an old purse in a little old pocket in a corner, tore a place on it, and I'd put it in there and sewed it back up. And I was going to buy sugar for coffee and make my husband a cake. He said, we hadn't had, she said, we hadn't had no sugar for a time. And she said, I went to church and they passed the collection plate. He said, in them days, passing the collection plate's almost a joke. Wasn't nobody had anything. But she said, it come around close to me. And God said, give that quarter. And she said, Lord, I can't do it. And God said, I said, give the quarter. And she said, I cried and said, what am I going to do? She said, I reached down in there and tore that thread loose and got that quarter out and dropped it in that collection plate. And she said, I went home, never did tell my husband what I'd done. And she said, that afternoon, I was taking a nap, and I heard an old hen a-catching out away from the house. And she said, in them days, when you heard an old hen catching, you thought about if you had a hid-out nest. And she said, I got up and looked, and she come out of an old corn shock down there in the field. And she said, I went down there and pulled the pot of shock back, and there's a dish, a wash pan full of eggs in there. And God said, go sell them and buy some sugar. Amen. God said, I'm going about doing it God's way. You'll find it God's way. One day, while I was thinking on unseen things above, my Savior came unto me and filled me with His love. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say, give me silver, and some say, give me gold. But I say, give me Jesus. He satisfies my soul. Oh, I'm going to die on this battlefield. I'm going to die in this war. I'm going to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some people that walked and talked with me, but since I've started preaching, they've turned their backs on me. But I still want to die on this battlefield. I still want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I'll take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, if you will help me, I'll sound it wherever I go. For I'm going down on this battlefield. I'm going down in this war. I'm going down on this battlefield with glory in my soul.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I was in Korea in 1957. The war was over, thank God. Bullet holes still there, bomb craters still there, bombed out buildings still there. Some of the old soldiers that had fought in the war had gone home, them career soldiers, that's what I am. Them career soldiers had gone home and they're back over there. We had some young men there that talked a good fight. They'd tell us around at night, we'd be sitting around some of them young men, talk about putting that bayonet in their teeth and carrying 15 or 20 hand grenades, charging up Incheon Hill, wiping out a platoon or a company of Chinese and North Koreans. But I noticed them old men never said anything. But I noticed at night when we'd all take a shower, I'd noticed some purple splotches on them old men in their legs and in their arms. I said to one night, what's the purple marks? He said, shrapnel, little old bullet wounds. I said, they ever hurt you? Oh yeah, he said. When the clouds hang low and there's a low front comes in, he said, they hurt me. I said, what kind of effect does it have on you? And he gritted his teeth and said, I want to go again and charge up Incheon Hill and fight. Y'all hear me tonight? I've got some purple splotches on me.
I don't go around talking about it much, but there's some purple splotches on me. I've been shot at in a few places. I'm talking about down in the Baptist churches. These old Christians, men and women, men of God, got some purple splotches on them tonight. You say, preacher, did they ever hurt? Yes. When the clouds hang low,
yeah,
and there's coldness at the house of God,
yeah,
the pain sets in.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what kind of effect does it have? I want to take this old King James Bible and get in the pulpit again and call sin, sin, and march again and count cadence again and sing cadence again,
yeah,
and make the world to know that I'm a career soldier. I didn't sign up to quit. I signed up to fight. Bless His name. Woo-wee! Hallelujah! David went down the brook and got out five smooth stones. That's what I was talking to you about a while ago. He knows that's the ones that go to the mark. Amen. Them smooth stones. I don't know why he got five. I know Goliath had four big old brothers. I know that's right. I've heard everything in the world about him, but I know he knows that is enough. He'd used that slang enough to know that five is going to be enough. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, God, when God puts armor on you, He'll give you enough ammunition to take care of the situation.
Yeah.
Amen. You preachers, hear me now. I said He'll give you enough ammunition to take care of the situation if you'll stay in Him.
Amen.
Had a preacher friend had trouble in the church, having trouble with a song leader. He said, I prayed almost all night on Saturday night. And he said, I got in and sat down that morning. And he said, I was troubled in my heart. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to have to resign. And he said, I looked in the book here, and there's page number 40. And he said, I thought that's a pretty song. He said, the song leader said, we're going to sing number 40 this morning. And he said, well, how about that? He said, while I was singing, I was just studying. I turned over to 63. And the song leader said, the next song we sing this morning is going to be number 63. He said, well, that's amazing. He said, let me try this. He just flipped over number 300 and he said, I just put it on my test and waited. And he said, the song leader said, we'll sing 300 now before we go to our classes this morning. And he said, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you'll stay with me, I'll keep you that far ahead of Him all the time. I say, He'll give you enough ammunition if you'll take what He gives you to take care of the situation. Bless His name. I don't just know that from reading it. I know it from experience. It will work. I'm happy in my soul that I'm in the Lord's army tonight. What a blessing it is. Come up out of that brook. He had boldness. Had them stones in his past, no doubt one in the sling. And he had boldness. He headed for the whole army. He wasn't just heading for Goliath. He just got Goliath because he's in the way. And you say he couldn't whoop the whole army. He did do it. He whooped Goliath. He whooped that big old bull and the rest of them run. He whipped the whole outfit. Amen. You'd be surprised what you'd do if you just lived for God. Pay no attention to your wife or to your husband. Go to church and live right and dress right and talk right. You'd be amazed what God can do with your life. Amen. I'm talking about a real warrior. David's my hero in the Word of God. I know he didn't do everything just right. But he is after God's own heart. He's a man after God's own heart. And I'm going to tell you, that's good. Little old David. I'm talking about little old. I don't know how little he was, but he was big enough. Thank God, knocked that giant in the head. Climbed up on him, took his own sword and cut his head off. Amen. And I think according to the scriptures, stuck his fingers in the eyeballs of that giant's head and went tearing him off. That's what the Word of God said. He had his head carrying it around. I'm talking about a warrior. We're not talking about some little old wimp that's afraid to say something, afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. If you're right, stand up for it. Amen.
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 What a warrior. Are you in the battle? Are you in the battle? Have you come to select up and took out? Got your head down? Would you like to re-up? Would you like coming to this altar tonight to get down between your seats and say, Lord, I come to re-up again, tell you I'm sorry. I've been kind of hanging back in the tents and everybody else is fighting. I used to shout and I've quit. I used to clap my hands and the preacher's preaching and I got too sophisticated. I used to do some things and me and my wife, we made some money and now we're dressed better and wear a nicer car and I just quit all that old stuff. Shame on you. There'd be a whole lot of folks better off if they had to go back and live in a little old hut. And be a warrior again. Everybody stand, please. You maybe ought to come tonight and just say, Lord, I want you to know I want to be a soldier. Pray. I mean a real soldier. Not be counted among the turncoats and the cowards. But I don't want to be a real soldier. I invite you to come to this altar while we sing. Would you be obedient?
You're the warrior.